In case you hadn't worked it out by now, today is Trinity Sunday. It's the only day in the church's annual cycle of Sunday celebrations and Bible readings when we remember a theological concept rather than an event, a person, or one of Jesus's teachings. Arguably, of course, we are remembering a person because God is a person, a rather complex three-in-one person. But you only have to look at the scripture readings we had today to realize that there is no Bible passage that explains the Trinity or even fully describes the Trinity. Jesus did not directly teach about the Trinity, and neither did any of the Old or New Testament writers. Even Paul did not go there. But Jesus talked about his Father. He talked about himself as the Son of Man and accepted the title of Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the Son of God. And he promised to send us the Spirit. So that's three gods, isn't it? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus also said that he and his Father were one. At least according to John's Gospel, which is the latest and most metaphysical of them. The church started within Judaism, which was very clear that there was only one God. So they had to resolve this issue of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, coexisting in some way, three in one and one in three. Now, you may remember within the first few centuries, the early church established itself with centers around the Mediterranean, what we call the Middle East, and into North Africa and parts of Europe. There was no central organization, no creed or agreed belief system. So when the Emperor Augustine, decided for political reasons that it would be good to use Christianity to unite the empire, he had to try to unite Christianity. Because without printed material and without a centralized structure, different theologies, different understandings of God and his church had grown up in different places. And one of the biggest issues then was the triune God and the relationship between the three persons of the Trinity. I know this sounds pretty arcane, but bear with me for a minute or two more. Now, towards the end of the third century, a priest and theologian from Alexandria in Egypt, whose name was Arius, was teaching that the Son of God, being begotten of the Father, was therefore a creature of the Creator, did not always exist, and was actually of a very different nature. In contrast, Athanasius, the Patriarch of Alexandria, taught that the Father and Son were of the same nature and coexistent. Now, this was a huge controversy. This was as big as abortion. It was as big as the full inclusion of LGBTQ plus people. The idea that the Father and the Son were coexistent and of the same nature won the day. You may have had a clue when you saw the first one said Arius Hereticus. And here we can see Athanasius pointing very proudly at the light around a triangle. The idea that the Father and Son were coexistent won the day, and the Nicene Creed was created to make the point. Yet as the church developed, more people agreed with Arius. And so some branches of the church, especially those in the East, remained what we call Arian. But we, my friends, are the spiritual descendants of those who won the argument. The Trinity of three equal persons is written into our DNA. It is part of our spiritual identity and part of our heritage. And that's why we're expected to say the Nicene Creed every Sunday. So last Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, often called the birthday of the church. And today, we celebrate Trinity Sunday, a reminder. That's not meant to be there. All right, today we celebrate Trinity Sunday, a reminder that we are the church who understands God as three equal persons. For almost 2,000 years, we have baptized and we have blessed in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now we go to this slide, because I've been using the word Father for the Creator, because that is how Jesus talked about God, and that is the traditional language. But for many of us today, it is difficult to use language which is patriarchal. And for some of us today, it's difficult to use language which, it's also difficult to step over our negative connotations with Father. And so we often use Creator, but that runs the risk of reducing the Father to just one action, however astonishing and ongoing. Surely the Father is more than just the action of creating. So I've been playing with using author instead, as a way of suggesting that the one who originates everything. It's much easier to use God or spirit and not to worry about any of these things. But I think that we sell ourselves short when we don't live into our Trinitarian heritage. There is tremendous richness in the knowledge of a God who lives in community. Now, there is a word for this, but I have been instructed not to use it. This word, which I will not say, actually I will, I'll try, perichoresis, or maybe perichoresis, Pamela's not here to tell me how to say this. It means to go round or to encompass, and it carries the sense of two sides of the same coin. The Trinity is like that. It's a community in constant relationship with each other. Now, this is how Bernard of Clairvaux describes the role of the Holy Spirit in this community. He wrote, "If, as is properly understood, the Father is he who kisses, the Son, he who is kissed, then it cannot be wrong to see in the kiss the Holy Spirit. For he is the imperturbable peace of the Father and the Son, their unshakable bond, their undivided love, their indivisible unity." Wow. The Holy Spirit is the kiss of God. Let's read that again. "If, as is properly understood, the Father is he who kisses, the Son is he who is kissed, then it cannot be wrong to see in the kiss the Holy Spirit, for he is the imperturbable peace of the Father and the Son, their unshakable bond, their undivided love, their indivisible unity." Last week, we celebrated the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, to our ancestors and to us. And now we find that gift being described as a kiss. Isn't that a wonderful idea? You and I filled with the kiss of God. The Trinity is a community or a communion of three persons with complete free will, who are united in love, who are constantly going round and encompassing, and the energy between them is of love and respect and admiration and adoration and eros, all those things that make up the very best adult kiss you can imagine. And we are invited to be part of that. We are invited to participate in that communion, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the imperturbable peace of the Father and the Son, their unshakable bond, their undivided love, their indivisible unity. Now, I think that maybe this is the energy that is at the heart of all matter, and the consciousness which moves all sentient beings. Is it not possible that it is the dance of the Trinity that is expressed in the constant movements of the quarks? Is it not possible that it is the consciousness of the Trinity that animates our lives? So people of a triune God, Trinitarian people, let us live in the fullness of the kiss of the Godhead. Let us allow the passionate, deep, warm, stirring, erotic spirit to fill every part of ourselves as we rejoice in the creative, benevolent provision of the author creator, and as we follow the teachings and example of Christ, the victim and redeemer. My prayer is that we may truly live into our heritage, experiencing the Holy Spirit, who is the imperturbable peace of the Father and the Son, their unshakable bond, their undivided love, and their indivisible unity in every aspect of our lives, and allowing God's Spirit to flow through us and around us into the hearts and lives of all those whom we love, and even the hearts of those we don't love.